And Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Atto with you as we kick off week three here at Saratoga Racecourse. We're quickly getting in the middle of this meet. It goes by quick up here. A little cool overcast day here on Wednesday. I think we're going to be okay with the weather. Could be an issue tomorrow, but we've got an exciting renewal of the Grade 2 Honorable Miss and a prep for the Grade 1 Ballerina on Traverse Day. So in a quick second, I'll bring in Neil Pessin, who's going to start the heavy favorite, Bell's the One. We've also got Dave Grenning of the Racing Forum coming up at 10:20 to talk about past and upcoming stakes and look ahead. And then Mike McAdams is connected because that's going to join me at about 10:40. Mike is working on a Whitney piece for next week, of course, the Whitney next week. He'll talk a little Will's Way, who won the Whitney back in 1997, and some other doings here at Saratoga. But I'll bring in my first guest here on Wednesday, Racing Across America, Neil Pessin, trainer of Bell's the One. Neil, got to see Neil up close over the winter at Fairgrounds, and Neil told me off the air, first horse you're ever going to run here at Saratoga, Neil, and I guess if that's the case, you're bringing the right one in here, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think she fits pretty well.
Bell's the One, grade one winner, one of the better filly and mare sprinters in the country, comes in off a win at Churchill. I guess first and foremost, Neil, how's she been up here? Who's she with? I know you said you got here recently, but how's she taken to her surroundings up here?
She's taken very well. We're in Al Stahl's barn, okay. Stahl number one, the stall that Tom DeTot used to be in. So we got good company. She shipped in well. She's trained here a couple of days, and looks like she handles it okay, but you don't know for sure up here until race day because they don't call it the Graveyard of Champions for nothing.
Yeah, Bell's the One will start as a pretty heavy favorite. You're based at Arlington for the summer with Churchill closing for a little bit as they renovate that turf course. Now, you said this will be the first starter, but you did say you've had a little history up here.
Yeah, before when I was assistant trainer, I worked for a guy up here, and I was up here for about 3 months during the meet, and after the meet was over, I stayed a couple months.
Talk a little bit before we get into Bell's the One initially. Talk a little bit about your background. I know you've been doing this for quite a while, saddled your first winner in 1985. How'd you come up through the ranks?
My dad was a veterinarian, and we actually built the Kentucky Training Center in Lexington and had a breeding farm before that. Okay. And been around horses since I was growing up. Worked on the farm, worked at the training center, and I was going to pre-vet school, and I worked on the racetrack one summer, and dad told me to get out of my system, so I'm getting close.
Some 35, 40 years later, you're still working on that.
Yeah, but it's getting closer.
Bell's the One took you to your first grade one win. We're going to bring up the video of the Derby City. Now, this was last September on Derby Day. Obviously, right. Churchill postponed the Derby until September. You're going to see her here. She's late arriving, actually, and in the red and blue silks of Bob Lothenbach. Neil, it was a long time coming, but talk about winning your first grade one here. She's coming into the picture now with a filly for Bob, who I know you've kind of had a special thing going too.
Yeah. She, I know it's supposed to mean a lot winning a grade one, but I was more happy for the filly than for me because I still don't think she gets the accolades that she should. She shows up every time. She's run against the best in the country, and she always gives it her all. And even like in the Roxalena, she was third choice. You know, we beat Wisconsin 2 out of 3 times before that, and we had a bad trip in the Derby City this year. And, you know, I was just happy for her more than for me.
And that was Serengeti Empress. She was running down there, a Kentucky Oaks winner.
No slouch.
Yeah, no slouch at all, through and through. Talk about the relationship with Bob, who I know, you know, he's a guy that spends a lot of money at the sales, and you purchased, she was purchased for $155,000 as a yearling. Talk about the relationship you've had with him. He's given you some really nice horses to work with, and how did that come about?
Actually, through Chris Block.
Okay.
Because I started taking a few of the overflow that Chris had from Mr. Lothenbach, and then I just kind of started gradually working in, and I've got quite a few for him now. Most of the stable is his, actually.
As I mentioned, $155,000 yearling. Did she stand out? I know you know, she's obviously now a Grade One winner, and you talked to people and said that they knew from the get go. Was she that kind of filly, or how was she as a young horse?
The only horse I saw and knew from the get go would be a Grade One winner was AP Envy.
Okay.
When I saw him at the sale, we actually tried to buy him privately, but they wanted too much, and we couldn't get it done. But when I saw her, she's not the best conformed horse in the world. Uh-huh. She walks a little wide. That's just her. But she was very, very athletic, and that's the reason we bought her, just for her athleticism. Mm-hmm. And we were hoping, you know, you never know if you're going to have a Grade One winner when you buy them. They always, you know, everyone says, oh, I knew she'd be a Grade One winner.
Right.
That's crap. So we were just hoping she'd be a stakes caliber horse, but you don't know that either until you get them going and actually race them.
Right. Now, we'll bring up footage of the Roxalana, and you mentioned kind of the versatility and the athleticism that she has. I know you... Regular rider Corey Lanner, you instructed him to keep her a little closer that day. She had a penchant, as we saw in the Derby race, of coming way back. Here she is, the four again, a lot closer, and I think that was probably a key. You mentioned Sconson for the Foleys. I mean, she's a crack sprinter as well.
Yes, she is.
Was that the plan?
Yeah, the plan was twofold. One, in the Derby City, they went very slow the first quarter. They went in 23, which for these fillies is extremely slow, and she was way back. And then she got stuck on the inside, which she prefers being on the outside when she comes down the lane, or at least outside the horse she's going for. And so I told Corey, I said, don't let her get way back and be sure you're on the outside. So around the half mile pole, between the half and the 3/8 pole, he was stuck between two horses. There's three horses abreast. He's in the middle, and he kind of let her suck back a little bit and come around, and that was a key move, I think, that he made in there.
I'm sure you've looked at the race today. There seems to be some speed in there today. How do you see it? And do you target anyone and say, hey, this is the gal we've got to beat, or we've got to look out for her?
No, I kind of think they have to beat me. So, I mean, I hate to be cocky about it, but I just think I have the best horse in the race. And if she handles the racetrack and the shipping, in, which it looks like she has so far, then I think she'll be tough to beat. I think Rob's filly may scratch.
Yes, that's what I heard. Sadie Lady. Yep.
Yeah, Sadie Lady. So it leaves two speed horses in there.
Right.
Elmer on the rail and Honey something.
Right.
And I don't know. I'll leave it up to Corey. You know, if they go slow, I don't want to be too far back again.
Sure. Yeah, he knows her well.
He knows her well, and when you turn for home, get her to the outside.
Obviously, in the perfect world, I'm assuming you hope to come back here in a little over 4 weeks for the Ballerina?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not, because I'm trying to space the races a little bit, and I'm pointing to the Breeders' Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, there'd be a race the end of September,
okay.
But there's nothing I know of right now.
Right.
So we may go to the Thoroughbred Club of America.
Keeneland, opening weekend.
But because of the herpes up here,
mm-hmm.
we can't go straight back to Arlington.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn her out at the farm for 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
So that, and it would be a lot of shipping, because I wouldn't leave her here. I'd take her back with
right.
me. And it's a 16-hour van ride both ways.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'd be fair to her to do that.
Right. Okay.
So we'll skip the Ballerina and probably point to the Thoroughbred Club of America at Keeneland.
She is 4 for 4 at 6 furlongs. Is it her best distance, or is that more of a just kind of a is what it is?
It, I think it all depends on how the race sets up,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she's the Grade One was at 7/8.
Right.
So I think anywhere from 6 to 7 is her best distance. I'd like to try her to, at some point, we thought about doing two turns again because the Alcibiades wasn't
right.
a fair test, because she broke slow and then got rushed around the turn wide, and the race was over after the first 3/8.
Right, right.
But she's doing so well sprinting, it's kind of hard to run her long.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what you have already.
Yeah.
How is she as far as shipping? I know a lot of those races have been in Kentucky, but you mentioned the Breeders' Cup. Going to have to go out to Del Mar now. She's a seasoned filly. Is it any issues, or she's very...
No, she ships pretty well. When she first starts out in the van, she might be a little nervous for about the first 2 or 3 minutes. but then she settles right down and ships well. The only thing with the Breeders' Cup is hopefully they have some arrangements for flights out there.
Right.
Because right now, Tech Sutton's down. I don't know if they're coming back or not, and FedEx is not ideal as far as shipping horses out there, and if we have to rely on them to do it, I don't know that I'll go.
Right.
I'd have to have a flight committed to horses to go out there.
Sure, sure. Okay. What has she done? I know she hasn't been here that long. I'm looking at a bullet at Arlington recently. What has she done since she's been here with Alan? Anything significant or got a feel for the track?
Yeah, she nothing significant.
Yeah.
She got here Sunday morning after training. So we just, nothing on Sunday, took her out Monday and jogged her. And Tuesday we jogged her and then let her gallop about 3/4 of a mile.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned to me that she's stable with Al. I noticed right off the bat this winter, being in New Orleans and at Fairgrounds for the entire winter for the first time, there's definitely a camaraderie there, I would say, with trainers. Obviously, you have friends that you know and help each other out. But I got a sense of it's much more of a root for everybody kind of feel. Not that it's not like that here, but I did seem to notice it's a little more of a family atmosphere there.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Todd pulls for Chad a whole lot,
well, <let's... laughs>
or vice versa. But down there, yeah, you're in the same with the same group of people.
Yeah.
Most of the year, a lot of them come. You know, I'm with year round.
Yeah,
do Churchill and Fairgrounds.
Right.
So, and most of them, for the majority, like anything, everyone has a rotten apple in the batch.
Sure.
But that no one roots for. But for the most part, everyone kind of pulls for everyone to do good, and they like to see, you know, because basically a lot of the guys at Churchill are still the small guys.
Right.
You know, there's a few big guys there, but mostly it's the small guys.
Right.
And everyone, you know, it's hard to compete against the 200 horse outfits and have a horse that can be competitive with them, because they've got most of the better horses.
Sure.
So when you see someone else do well, it's nice.
Sure. How many do you have at Arlington for the summer?
I've got 14 right now.
Most for Bob, you said?
Most for Bob.
Anybody we should look at? I know Ready for Change started out really, really strongly this winter at Fairgrounds. Anybody excited about running?
Not really. I got a couple 2-year-olds, colts, that I'm not sure what they are yet. They act like they're okay, but we've only been 3/8 with them.
Right.
I bring them along pretty slow.
Yep.
So, but they act like they could be something, but like I say, you never know. I don't get too excited until we go 5/8.
Yeah, patience.
Once we go 5/8, then you know if you have something. Any horse can go 3/8 and 35.
Right, right. All right, Neil Pessin's going to start the heavy favorite today, and Bell's the One in the Grade 2 Honorable Miss. A little later, the feature on the Wednesday card. She won the Grade 1 Derby City Distaff on Derby Day last September and has been one of the best filly and mare sprinters in the country, third in the Breeders' Cup last year, hoping to get back there again at Del Mar this year. Neil, I know you've been here before, but you're going to put the tack on one for the first time. All the best today. Thanks for stopping
by. Thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate it.
Neil Pessin joining us here on Wednesday, Racing Across America. Take a break here. When we come back, Dave Grenning of the Racing Forum talk about prior and forward stakes. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has 2 bedrooms and 2 baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For 4 generations and looking forward to a 5th, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Addo here with you on what's turning out to be a really nice day here in Saratoga Springs. A little on the cool side, but I think the rain is going to hold off, and we should be fast and hopefully firm and no issues on turf, I don't think, today. Many thanks to Neil Pesson, who's going to saddle his first horse up here at Saratoga this summer, and Bell's the one, and the Grade Two Honorable Miss, and as I mentioned, Neil kind of alluded to as well. I like the confidence there. I think he knows he's saddling the right horse today. She's going to be a heavy favorite, Grade One winner, looks to be odds on or really close to it, as she isn't apparently prepping for the Ballerina, but Neil's going to bring a good one over to the paddock a little later today. So best of luck for him. It was good to see him up here in Saratoga. And my next guest is very familiar here with Saratoga and very familiar with Racing Across America. I'll bring in Dave Grenning of the Daily Racing Form. Dave, good to see you up here on what is, I'm sure, a little hectic summer in Saratoga.
Well, it's every day is an interesting day, a new day and a busy day, but it's good to be here. And as you mentioned, it's a beautiful day. The temperature, it's, cool and sunny and all good.
I know. It feels like Mike Allen and I talked on the handicappers report. It almost has a end of the meet kind of feel to it a little bit. Low 70s, getting cool at night. Not that it's really a complaint, but we really haven't had summer here in Saratoga yet.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You give me this 75 to 78 day in July, August, September, I'm fine. Bring it on.
No doubt about it. We've had two Saturdays up here already, and we ran the Diana, obviously, and the coaching club last Saturday, which we'll get to in a second. But I always kind of feel, Dave, when it's Jim Dandy weekend and we always want to look ahead and we start thinking Travers, I really feel like the meat of the meat really gets going on Saturday.
Well, one of the interesting things about this Saturday's card, I think we have three champions, reigning champions, going to participate. You have Essential Quality in the last year's two-year-old champion and the Jim Dandy. You got Channelmaker, the turf champion, in the Bowling Green, and you have Whitmore, the sprint champion, in a very solid renewal of the Alfred G. Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the Whitmore, easy to root for. He just a warrior, I believe. He's 8 now, Breeders' Cup sprint winner of last year, as you mentioned, 4-go winner of a couple years ago. Before we look forward, let's take a look back, though, on Saturday. We ran a 4-horse coaching club, American Oaks, a return of the Grade 1 winner, undefeated Malathat, Kentucky Oaks winner. We'll pick this race up on the back stretch. And Maracuja, who was soundly beaten in the Oaks, a 7th, I believe, for Rob Attriss. Here she is kind of coming again on the outside, Dave. This was a hell of a race for a 4-horse field, and maybe you thought Clairiere and Malathat would throw it down. Not quite the case in what was a big upset, huh?
Yeah, Maracuja was, earlier in the race, was up on the pace. In fact, Maracuja was where Clairiere was around the turn, right at Malathat's throat latch, and then when Irad made that move on Clairiere to press her, Santana made a decision, hey, I'm going to let her do that dirty work, I'll take back, and it was just a matter of whether she could come again. Maybe in Santana's mind, he was thinking, I'll come back, I'll take back and rally, and I'll get second, and everyone will be happy if you're second to Malathat. And I think even Rob Attriss went in there thinking, if I'm second to Malathat, I'll be happy. Malathat got, first Maracuja, then Clairiere, and with Maracuja having something left to come at, Malathat with just enough to get up and get the victory. And you can't, I know Todd mentioned that the horse was Malathat, with Todd Fletcher mentioned Malathat was off the layoff, but so was Maracuja, who missed a little time. She was actually pointing to the Mother Goose, missed that with a little bit of a setback, and then he, credit to Rob Attriss for getting her ready for these, for this spot. Also in the springtime, he did a nice job. He ran her in 3 sprints and had the really good foundation under her to go into the Gazelle, where she ran a very credible second to Search Results, who's validated that result by running terrific in the Kentucky Oaks second and then winning the Acorn. So, Maracuja was running against quality horse. You just didn't think, I'm not going to red board and say, wow, that you could make a case for Maracuja to win. You could maybe make a case for Maracuja to be second.
Yes.
And maybe fill out a halfway decent exacta, but as far as beating her, just if she would have had a recency race, maybe. But, Malathat just didn't go on. I don't think Malathat wants to be on the lead.
Yeah, she kind of fell on the lead.
Yeah,
right?
And I think the plan was run away from there, let someone clear me. How many times have you seen John Velasquez do that?
Yeah.
Let someone run away, let someone clear, pop up to the outside, stalk, and win. That didn't happen here, but that's what I think was the mindset going in.
I mentioned, dating myself, you'll remember this, I mentioned Touch Gold in the Belmont. Like, when he was on the lead, came back and came again. You never ever see that, and it's a credit to the filly to do that.
Sure.
Ricardo gave her a great ride. As you mentioned, Irad kind of forced the hand a little bit. You just never see a horse involved early, dropping back, and coming again. And Rob's got a really nice filly going forward, and all things being equal, we knock on wood, we see it again, right, in the Alabama?
I would think that's the plan, to see these two hook up in the Alabama. And I think Todd Pletcher, this trainer of Mouth, I would like to see a bigger field, a more,
sure,
I hate to say truer run race, but just a differently, you know, these four-horse fields kind of get a little, you know, wanky a little bit. And, you know, it gets, you know, there was supposed to be more in there. The quarantine situation, Kenny McPeak was going
to
run two in there. Didn't play out that way. And I think one of those two would have been speed, and it could have played out differently. But no, taking zero away from Maracuja, who ran a very good race and looks to have a bright future.
Yeah, for sure. And Rob's first grade one, so kudos to him. We keep thinking of the late, great Harvey Pack up here. And Harvey, the longest shot in a four-horse field, gets it done at 14-1. It was a big number there.
Yeah. And she had done this before. She had run well at a mile and an eighth before. So it wasn't something that she was like just trying something she hadn't done before. She actually did run a credible race in the Gazelle. And she didn't run very well in the Oaks because she didn't break very well. She broke.
Yeah.
This was the best she's broken in a race, get out of the gate in a race, and helped her win.
We'll look ahead now to Saturday. Let's bring up footage of the Belmont Stakes, Essential Quality, kind of validating that two-year-old form, and everybody maybe thinking he's the best three-year-old in the country, and here it is, throwing it down with Hot Rod Charlie, the Godolphin Blue on the outside with the white blinkers. He returns on Saturday in the Jim Dandy, which is pretty cool in and of itself in an era where, you know, these horses don't run all that much. Your feelings from Brad Cox, and I know I talked to Mike Welsh last week, your colleague, was pretty impressed with how Essential Quality is doing coming up to this race, which obviously is not the end-all be-all.
Right, and it's sort of the fine line that the trainers have to balance here between having the horse ready to win and also making sure there's enough to get to the race that you really want to win. I'm not saying they don't want to win the Jim Dandy, but if you can only win one of the two, the Travers is the one that they really are targeting. I don't think it would have been wise to wait 12 weeks to go from the Jim to go from the Belmont Stakes to the Travers. It's something that I think Birdstone might have been the last horse to do that, and very few have tried since. Tapper comes to mind, who had tried it and didn't get it done, and maybe one other horse even tried it. So this is the prep to get to that race, and you want a good race, but you want to make sure that you have something to build on for the Travers. The horse has been training fine. I haven't seen any holes in the horse, and there's been enough of a freshening. You know, he ran hard in the Kentucky Derby, and he ran hard in the Belmont Stakes, and it was nice to see, I think, even though the horse was disqualified, to see Hot Rod Charlie come back and validate that you can run that hard and still have something left to come back. And Hot Rod Charlie did that, and you know, Central Quality needs to prove that too, but at least we've seen that it can be done.
I know they're going to draw later today. We know Masca Parade, who's a really nice up-and-coming three-year-old for Al Stahl, Indiana Derby winner. What about the rest of the field, Dave, and how it's shaping up?
I have six, if what they've given me is accurate, alphabetically. Dr. Jack, third in the Pegasus, Central Quality we talked about. Keep Me in Mind, a stakes winner from a two-year-old who's ran in two of the three Triple Crown races, fourth in the Preakness, second or third in the Ohio Derby to Mass Parade, Risk-Taking, who won the Withers and then has kind of not really come back. And the horse that kind of interests me a bit is Weyburn.
Weyburn, the
Canadian bred, getting Irad Ortiz. I just learned that this morning from Jimmy Jerkins. This horse won the Gotham, fourth in the Jim in the Wood, had really interruptions in his training and racing patterns this winter and into spring. I think since he was going to run on the Peter Pan, and then he got a little bit of foot issue, I believe, and then they went into the Pegasus. And he ran a very good second to Mandaloon, and Mandaloon backed that race up, too, in the Haskell. So I think this horse has taken some steps forward. And you know, with Jimmy Jerkins, the horses do seem to improve as the years and the year and then the years go on. Mm-hmm. And this horse interests me a bit from a standpoint of he needs to prove which way do we go from here.
Right.
Are we going to prove ourselves worthy of the Travers, or do we prove ourselves a cut below and we have the fallback of the Queen's Plate a week before?
Talk a little bit about Masca Parade, too. I feel like maybe he's the horse that isn't on everyone's radar as he's, you know, I don't want to say taking the road less traveled, but I think he is the vintage second half three-year-old. I was at Fairgrounds this winter. He shouldn't have been DQ'd up for the win, but he did, and he's taking it and run with it. You were in Louisville for the Derby. He was awesome that weekend. He backs it up in the Indiana Derby for Al.
You know, coming out of that other than victory at Churchill on Derby Day, it seemed like this would have been a horse in a lot of other people's barns, that would have shown up in the Preakness two weeks later. Because everybody from the Derby kind of falls away. You get a handful, less than a handful of Derby horses coming back. There wasn't a strong contingent of, you know, the new shooters coming out, and you could have made a case off that number that he ran and the way he ran that he could have come back in the 2 weeks in time. But a little more conservative connections, and they went to Ohio Derby, and it was a good race. It, you know, this wasn't an Ohio Derby where there was one standout and six or seven or eight, you know, just also runs. It was, you know, King Fury was solid. Keep Me in Mind, it was solid. And Promise Keeper from Todd Pletcher out of the Peter Pan was a solid horse. So he beat a good field. Thought he was a little bit of green, little green there in the stretch, but you know, this just comes with experience. New track over there, and it was a solid effort. So the number came back good, and certainly fits in the spot.
And as you kind of hinted at, with Essential Quality, you know, not squeezing the lemon too dry, if there's a right time to catch a champion and a Belmont Stakes winner, it's probably on Saturday.
I would think so. I would think that this is the race that they've gotten the tank back to, say, 85-ish percent, where these other guys, they have a recency race, you know, an edge in that department, and they sort of need to prove themselves. This is the race. Yeah, they'd like to get to the Travers. They want to win the Travers, but they got to get there first, and they have to prove themselves in this race to get to the Travers. Essential Quality has nothing to prove. He's a Travers horse, and this is the pattern they took. This is the path they took to get there.
Just off the beaten path a little bit. Have you talked to Brad? I know after the Haskell, he mentioned, well, maybe we'll try to keep these two apart, being Mandaloon in Essential Quality. But, you know, you've got Judmont, you've got Godolphin. Has he given a feel? Has he updated that stance of maybe keeping them apart?
In reading between the lines of what he says, and I have the feeling that he would like to run Mandaloon in the Pennsylvania Derby. Okay. If Judmont says, like, if Essential Quality doesn't do very well, or Judmont sees a race that's, I'm not that impressed by it, Judmont may say, you know what, let's go. If there's no reason not to run Mandaloon, let's do it. If there is, you know, hey, Essential Quality wins by five, and he's really razor sharp, let's catch him. We have another option, and we can catch him when the money's really on the line in the Breeders' Cup.
I guess it's just a typical Saturday in Saratoga when we're talking about a Grade Two race, and there's a Grade One on Saturday with a Breeders' Cup winner and Whitmore, who just keeps on keeping on. The Vanderbilt's coming up extremely strong. Whitmore, Mischievous Alex, and Firenze Fire.
Those are the three that headline it. And then you have some under the radar type of horses that are solid too. But here's a Miles Ahead, who just won the Smile at Gulfstream. He's coming up here. I think he's going to run in Rusty Arnold's name. Just that's probably more logistical thing than anything else. But you know, he's an interesting horse. Lexingtonian, Calumet. Sure. How many times have Calumet come up here and won? Or in New York, won a race at a big number where
Jack
you're thinking,
Sisterson.
That horse was second in that 45-1 in the Churchill Downs Grade One. Didn't run very well the last time out, but you know, he's coming up here. I have Strike Power, Steve Asmussen, a solid horse who used to be with Mark Hennig, and then a horse that's coming off a decent race in the neighborhood of Three Technique for Jeremiah Englehart. So it's a solid, looks like a solid seven horse field.
And that'll get, you know, in the perfect world, everyone to the four go later in the meet as well. I know you rode up the Stallion Series Stakes today, the mile, a three-year-old New York Red's going a mile on the inner. Pretty solid group, the kind of getting that gangs all back feeling. I think you quoted Tom Morley, the trainer of Ocala Dream. We're going to bring up that race last time, the Belmont race that he won. And Tom said, basically, this is my Kentucky Derby for this horse. Everybody's back here today, and it looks like a pretty compelling renewal, Dave.
It's a solid race, and as you mentioned, I think five to six of these horses today ran in this particular race, and Ocala Dream got a very nice trip in here. And I think what Tom was alluding to, he thinks that this horse should be better up here, the true two-turn race. He liked his race last year when he was fourth, but he got beat two lengths. He liked the education the horse got in that spot, and I just think that he was obviously very pleased with this performance, but he thinks that the horse, the conditions of this race, the two-turn mile, fit him even better. He's going to have to hold off again. The horse is coming on the outside and Step Dancer. And I'll tell you, another horse who ran really sneaky good in this spot and now goes out for a new trainer is Barrage.
Yeah.
Barrage ran in a 16 claimer at Gulfstream and got beat. And then when they felt those connections, felt, you know, bold enough to run in the Stallion Stakes as a maiden, not a maiden special, coming out of a maiden 16, and the horse ran third, just gave way late in that spot. He's got a trainer change to Danny Gargan.
Not a private purchase, right?
Not just a private purchase, just a trainer change. Okay. I think the horse had shipped into his barn, and I think Danny was interested in getting the horse.
Yep.
And they were like, well, we don't want to sell him, but you know, we'll give him to you. We'll move him over to you. He put blinkers on him. The horse is trained very well. And you get a switch to, you get Irad Ortiz Jr. on those. So and, interesting runner there.
And no disrespect to Armando De La Cerda, who did very good with Midwest Thoroughbreds sure. back in the day. This is a seismic trainer change. We know how good Danny is at moving these kind of horses up.
Yeah, and he's had enough time to work with him and get a couple breezes in, and you know, he's pretty excited about what he's seen.
The feature today is the Honorable Miss, and we had Neil Pessin on, the strong, heavy favorite, and Bell's the one. Neil's first horse he's ever going to saddle here of saddled his first winner 35 years ago, and now he gets to run one up here at Saratoga. I don't think she has to win. I will say this, though, after Neil sat in that chair and said, we're probably not coming back in the ballerina, I would think the screws are a little tighter than maybe a lot of us at least anticipated when we're always looking ahead at the Saratoga Stakes schedule. So she's going to be a handful here. But I've got Lake Avenue here in the bed of roses. We're going to bring her up, the Godolphin Blue here. And what was a really game effort, Dave, she was awesome in the Demoiselle at 2. Didn't really come to the party at 3. But I think she's down inside here, the 1. It seems like Bill's got her going the right way. And on her day, she's pretty darn good.
She's a solid sort. I wonder if the 6 here is a little short for her. That would be my one concern. I know she ran at 6. She ran 6 in her career debut. I think in this particular spot that we're looking at now, she makes this early move here, probably earlier than they wanted to, but it was there. I mean,
yes.
You're not going to give it up. And you know, she gets to the front, she makes the lead, and then she gets run down by a filly that has run some. The Estilio Talentoso run some hot and cold races.
Right.
I know she ran very well in Barbara Fritchie in February, and then not so well, I think, either subsequent to this race. But Lake Avenue ran a solid race in a day that the rain just came, you know, and just really created a mess of a racetrack. And again, having to go to the inside, move a little earlier. I just, again, wonder if the 6 is a tick short for her. One horse that interests me a little bit here is Reagan's Edge,
yeah.
Who's run up here in the victory ride was last year to Frank's Roquette. I'm sorry, the Prioress to Frank's Roquette was solid. She ran against victory ride in the victory ride at Belmont and ran a solid
right.
effort. And, you know, she came off a long layoff, probably needed, would have to think she'll benefit from the third place finish in the 2 other than and take a step forward. I will be interested in, I think there's enough speed in here. Don't have the scratches yet. Don't know if you've seen them.
She's coming out.
Sadie Lady. I don't know if she's coming out or not.
Yeah.
Talked to Rob on Sunday, and he was like, we're going to look it over. You know, they had plenty of time. But I know that Brett Calhoun's horse is running here.
She's
scratched
here.
Out of the – she's already here. So I think there's enough pace in here that should help Neil's filly.
Yes.
I also think it'll help Lake Avenue. And I don't necessarily think it'll hurt Reagan's Edge, who I think might get a stalking trip and could potentially get first run on the 2 that we just mentioned.
Yeah, haven't seen the scratches. I talked to Rob yesterday. He kind of alluded that who's the only one out right now? Okay, Sadie Lady is out.
Okay.
So, but as Dave mentioned, you got Ain't No Elmers, who only knows one way to go.
Honey, I'm
down
good.
Inside. Honey, I'm good's got to go as well. So,
right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, getting to Lake Avenue, if she gets run off her feet a little bit, it's probably not the worst thing in the world either. She can maybe settle, get outside.
Sure.
But she's one of those fillies that, as you said, 6 could be a little sharp. And then the ballerina, obviously, 4.5 weeks, I guess, from now is probably the goal. Cherie DeVoe was one of those other trainers I talked to. She's shuttling back and forth to Ellis, and majority of her horses are in Kentucky. But yeah, she's another horse that you know, second off the layoff, didn't really fire last time, but again, probably wasn't too concerned about firing with bigger races down the road.
Sure, I mean, it's a nice pot they have there, but it's a means to an end. So you get started in that allowance race, you want a good effort at, and you want to see the horse move forward off of it, and it looks like, based on the workout at Keeneland on the 21st, that she has. And yeah, just an interesting price play there, a horse that I think would like the 6, maybe potentially better than Lake Avenue.
Yeah.
But again, we're all trying to dance around Neil Pessin's filly.
Right.
Belle's the one who, you know, looks like she's got a great post, good setup.
Perfect.
And, unbeaten at the distance.
Yes.
Everything sort of points to her. But at Saratoga, everything pointed to Malifat Saturday.
Well, that's
has
a great
become
point.
Full circle.
Yes, that's a great point. Neil was very confident, but Dave said it perfectly. Before I let you go, Dave, I know Life is Good is up here, arguably the best 3-year-old in the country this winter. Big wins for Bob Baffert. Now with Todd Pletcher, hasn't run since, scratching off the Triple Crown Trail, I believe, in March. He's with Todd. I know Elliot Walden maybe mentioned the Jerkins on Travers Day. Have you seen him? Any other reports to note?
Saw his work the other day. It was a little bit foggy early in the morning. He does come out first thing. It was his first work here. Mm-hmm. He had worked three times at Keeneland. He does seem to he moves well. Nice moving horse. He's got a couple more weeks to get some more works in. If they feel that that race comes up a little too close or too hard, there's other options. There's the Smarty Jones, I think 4 days before at Parks. I like what Parks did this year. Instead of putting these races on Labor Day and having these horses have to wheel back in 19 days in the Pennsylvania Derby or Cotillion or whatever, as they moved it to Travers Week, it's the Tuesday before the Travers, those prep races that they have, and it's a good idea. They're not really going to get the same horse. You're not competing necessarily for the same horses. But I think, look, this horse is a grade one horse.
Yeah.
They'd like to run him in the Allen Jerkins if he takes them there.
Well, you said it perfectly. If he takes him there, I mean, obviously he hasn't been out for a while, little minor hiccup, new trainer as well. Yeah. I mean, so you kind of said it there. Are they not he's going to take him there. They're not rushing to get
to that
spot.
I don't think they're saying, hey, let's get there.
Yeah.
The fact that he's here is with the idea of running in Saratoga, hopefully that the horse can each week mm-hmm. show him more and more in the mornings. It's only July 28th. Those races are August 28th.
Yeah.
He's got a month to do it. He's got a good foundation on him at Keeneland. I don't see why he wouldn't make it, but you never know.
Yeah.
Things happen.
4 weeks is a heck of a long time in horse racing, huh?
4 years.
Yeah. DG, I appreciate it. Dave Grenning, Racing Form. I always like to say Seth Merrill's the hardest working guy in racing. You might get a few more first place votes on that. I know your days are pretty long up here. So thank you for taking the time to stop over on a busy Wednesday. Dave Grenning, will have him back here later in the meet. Second break here on the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. When we come back, Mike McAdam is connecting the Gazette. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Leader set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stipe running on now. And Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's warning.
The chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won at just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you. Thank you to Neil Pessin, trainer of Bell's the One, heavy favorite today in the Grade Two Honorable Miss. And thanks as well to Dave Grenning, DG from the Racing Form, doing the backstretch early morning, stakes previews, recaps, doing all sorts of it. My next guest doing all sorts of it too, and Mike McAdam, longtime friend from the Schenectady Gazette, and Mac, one of the last stalwarts upstairs in the press box, I think, at Saratoga. I haven't been in there in a little.
Sparsely populated is a good way to describe it, but there's still some hardcore diehards like me and Dave Grenning, of course, and Tim Wilkin, who are there every day. So
I
300 Spartans.
I had, my goodness, I'm getting my last Wednesday. Yeah, last Wednesday. I'm getting my days mixed up already. Jason Blewett was up here,
I actually saw
Eric Donovan on Saturday night as well, and that was my foray into racing back in 2006 when we were in the back cubby, and Mike McAdam and our buddy Phil Janak right outside the wall. That seems like
and
about 150
that
years
was
ago.
Just free entertainment for us, because we sat there and listened to you guys all the time, and I was telling Jason this last week when I ran into him, I remember when you were working for those guys, and Jason and Eric were back in the room there, and Phil and I just sat there and cracked up. It was just a free comedy show. And then at one point you walked out to go make a bet or something, and I remember Jason saying to Eric, "Who is this guy taking our money?"
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
So it was just like endless guffaws and laughs from me and Phil just listening to you guys go at it back there.
And Phil now down at the sunny South Florida at Gulfstream Park with the crew down there doing
right.
Well, does the Preakness every year as well, so yeah, we miss him. Up, is he up here actually? I know
he is.
Okay,
in fact,
we were at the summer off a little bit.
In fact, he won't mind me disclosing this. We were going to get a beer yesterday, and he was out on his motorcycle and got caught in that torrential thunderstorm and had to bail out.
Said,
we'll try again next week.
I believe his daughter just graduated, right?
She did. Yep.
So, but you're working up here, and I know I wanted to have you on because I know the Whitney's not Saturday. It's next Saturday.
Right.
But it's one of the signature races of the meet. I would think it's a 1-1A to the Travers. And I know you're working on a piece with Will's Way, one of Jimmy Bond's first great horses. Travers winner in 96. Let's bring up the 97 Whitney. And if this is a little before your time to the audience, the younger generation, I was just starting in racing. Back in the day, Will's Way with the light white and blue, I mean, this is Skip Away. This is Formal Gold. And these horses, not only did they throw it down, Mac, but they threw it down running about 125s, 126s on the buyer scale. What do you got working for the Gazette and Will's Way? And this is just, I love watching races like this. This was the glory.
I was watching this morning a couple times, and it never gets old. It really doesn't. And you already mentioned Skip Away. He finished third behind Will's Way, not only in this race, but in the Travers the year before. And that horse is in the Hall of Fame now, of course. The duel really gets fully engaged. I think we're right around when they're about halfway through the turn. I mean, they're
Formal Gold on the lead.
Right, and Will's Way stays outside the whole way. And you'll see them kind of get on even terms. I think it's about halfway around the turn, and there's just not. You talk about a ding-dong, head-bobbing battle all the way to the wire, and Will's Way just kind of gets the bob advantage right before the wire, but nothing separating these two. And then Skip Away just couldn't. He actually fades back. I think he finished 6.5 behind Formal Gold eventually. I mean, he obviously is in contact here, but these two just talk about a battle. And both jockeys kept looking behind them, thinking maybe Skip Away was the one. Meanwhile, not realizing the one right on your shoulder might be the one that you need to pay attention to. But just absolutely nothing separating them. Game effort, winning race by both horses. You got two Hall of Fame jockeys, Jerry Bailey on Will's Way and Kent DeSormo on Formal Gold. And, you know, obviously gets a little advantage, probably three strides from the wire. But that just doesn't get old. That's one of those classics that you just go back and you know what the outcome was, but it's compelling every time you look at
it. Yeah, and Formal Gold was on a three-race streak where I believe he ran a 124, 127, or 126. So that's when horses ran fast.
Those are ridiculous numbers that you just don't see anymore.
You don't see him at all. Would win the Breeders' Cup Classic by about four lengths. You don't see him, and these horses wheel back. And Will's Way, like I said, that was in the midst of Jimmy Bond's, like, he had La Carrière was the mm-hmm. first. Will's Way came along, and then Barron's came along. Travers lost by that much to Deputy Commander.
Yeah,
and then Raffy's Majesty, too. But I know Will's Way is kind of, you know, close, that everyone kind of remembers up here with two great summers. So what have you kind of got in store?
Well, I'm going to talk to Jimmy probably tomorrow morning. I want to give Joanne Pepper a ring over at Old Friends at Cabin Creek and Greenfield Center. This, obviously, the story came up on my radar in the wintertime when they had to put Will's Way down.
Sure.
Just from the infirmities of old age. He's been over there for a long time. He was, you know, the absolute star of Old Friends in Greenfield Center for a while. Just, you know, Whitney, Travers, I think he had over $1 million in earnings.
So he would have been 27, 28, I believe.
Yeah, and so December, he was euthanized, and that's when the light bulb went on. When Whitney rolls around, I got to do a story on this guy, kind of a retrospective a little bit. One of the things interesting that I was nosing around and dug up this morning was there's only eight horses who have won both the Travers and the Whitney. Of course, the Whitney's first run in 1928, and the Travers has been around since the Civil War, so I'm just going to read these off. You'll recognize most of them. Medallia D'Oro was the last one to do it, 0203. Lemon Drop Kid, 99 and 2000. Will's Way, Easy Goer, 1989, ran in both of them as a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Java Gold did the same thing in 87. Ali Dar did the same thing in 78. And then you got to go all the way back to 40 and 41 when a horse named Fenelon won it, won both of them, and then 830 won them both in 1939. Another interesting little note is Will's Way was sired by Easy Goer, who was sired by Ali Dar. So you got like a three-generation thing going on there, which I thought was a little interesting little bit of trivia.
We'll shift gears a little bit, but a horse that has certainly gotten a following, like Will's Way did, he's been doing it at one turn. Whitmore, back to battle in the Vanderbilt on Saturday. I talked to Dave Grenning a little bit on what a heck of a field that it's coming up. A couple videos of Whitmore. We've got him winning the 2018 Forgo here. And I believe now an eight-year-old gelding, Mac, and we'll bring that Forgo up. And first grade one. Here's City of Light, by the way, the Pegasus World Cup winner. Will's Way, Whitmore, the three, down inside a little bit. Ron Moquette has done a phenomenal job. The public loves this horse. Just keeps on keeping on, doesn't he?
And, you know, I remember telling you, and I have no idea how many years ago this was, but when he kind of, like, pulled him back distance-wise and decided he was going to be a sprinter, I kind of became part of his fan club, mm-hmm. and I've been keeping an eye on him ever since. For the shame of me to not bet him in the Breeders' Cup last year, and that's my guy. You know, really a missed opportunity when it should have been right in my wheelhouse. And so I have to admit to dropping the ball on that one.
I'll let you relive it one more time.
Great.
Apropos, we've got that one queued up too. He's going to be in the
light. The price afterwards too.
Yeah, right. I think it was 18-1 that day. He's going to be in the light silks here. I believe he's the seven. Okay, so he's in the light colored silks. Not the darker ones, and I know BGB's in on this horse, Bob Lapenta. But here he is down inside, and he's running this race four times, and he couldn't quite get it done. Quite frankly, he couldn't quite get it done as a better, more informed horse.
Right.
But here he is down inside, sifting out a little bit. I know Wayne Catalano, who trained, the name's going to escape me, was mad that Whitmore beat his horse to the spot. But here he is just blowing the doors off the Breeders' Cup sprint. He's back in the Vanderbilt on Saturday. Easy horse to root for, huh, Mac?
Can't wait to see him. And he had a ground-saving trip for the bulk of that race, which probably had a factor. But like you mentioned, pick that perfect spot to just tip out and get some running room and then show what he can do.
One more before we let you go. And I talked to Dave Grenning about the Jim Dandy field on Saturday, the return of Essential Quality. the Belmont Stakes winner. But let's bring up Masca Parade winning the Ohio Derby for Al Stahl. And as I mentioned with Dave, he's the quintessential second half, getting good at the right time, three-year-old on the outside, the 10 horse. Al's bringing over a pretty serious horse on Saturday.
Seems like there's a little bit of that going around as far as late bloomer types. And I actually circled Masca Parade as one that was interests me a little bit. I mean, essential quality obviously is a horse to beat, but if you're looking for somebody underneath or maybe a little bit of an upset possibility, getting good at the right time. I'm going to try to track down Al tomorrow morning and just get a little more insight on this horse. But, yeah, there seems to be a little bit of a pool of three-year-old colts that are kind of figuring it out. You know, obviously, First Captain is running this weekend.
Curling on Friday, yeah.
Correct. And so, interesting. I'm definitely going to take a hard look at him and we'll have some win place money on him for sure.
It's that time of the year, especially. We're always looking forward to the Travers, but it's that time of the year where the early season three-year-olds now are morphing into the summer, and how do they come out of the rigors of the Triple Crown Trail, and they face a fresh batch of new horses. And Masca Parade is certainly at the top of that list. You know, he's not as battle-tested as essential quality in some of the, you know, the Mandaloons and Hot Rod Charlies of the world, but that's not necessarily a bad thing when you're talking midsummer and a lot of horses with some miles on them. So take note of him on Saturday, as Mac alluded to, First Captain as well on Friday in the Curling for our buddies at West Point and Shug McGahee. So we're just getting going here in Saratoga, but I don't know if it's to the detriment or what. It's never too early to look. We always want to look forward as handicappers and as columnists. You can find Mac every day in the Gazette, pretty much, pretty close.
Pretty much. Tuesday might be a little light for me because I don't work on Mondays. I will say that this five racing days a week is kind of really cramping my style a little bit. I used to have those degenerate Mondays, so now I have to get very creative and use my imagination to figure out a race day, you know, getting it off as I am today.
Well, I was going to say the word on the street here.
Well, right. It's not even a wise guy pick right there. It's out there.
Might be later today at the Paddock Bar, maybe a little King's Tavern as well. But old longtime friend, Mike McAdam, like I said, you can catch him, longtime sports writer, columnist for the Gazette, and he's up here doing the hard yards every day. Mac, appreciate it for you stopping by. Enjoy. Always good to see you.
My pleasure entirely.
We'll try to get you on later in the meet as well. We'll take one more break here on the Wednesday edition of the Handicapper of Racing Across America. Brian Atta with you. Stay tuned. We'll wrap it up when we come back.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto here to wrap it up. And you got to give a special thanks to everybody that stops by this set any day of the week. I know Seth has got Racing Across America on Saturdays. And you know, it's tough to get over here on a Wednesday at Saratoga, let alone a grade one Saturday. So Neil Pessin, Dave Groening and Mike McAdam of the Gazette. Just a big special thanks to everybody that takes the time to sit next to me and Seth on a live race day here at Saratoga. It's easier said than done. So I can't say it enough. A special thanks to all those guys. And best of luck to Neil today in the grade two honorable miss as he saddles his first horse here at Saratoga in a pretty, you know, long and successful 35 years running and still going strong career. So that's pretty cool to see. We wish Neil the best of luck. And that'll wrap it up here to start of week three at Saratoga. The Stallion Series Stakes today, as well as the grade two honorable miss. Thanks to everybody that participated, the guys in the truck as well. So I will be back here next tomorrow morning with Anthony Mormino for not only Handicapper's Report, but Racing Across America. Best of luck on a Wednesday at Saratoga. Take care.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com. The premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.